This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness Live, the radio broadcast on a Tuesday night. I'm sorry, this is Wednesday already. I'm looking at the second day of February 2011. Now, didn't January go fast? One entire month is gone, and we're already bolting into February 2011. And if you want to, you can go back to the first 2 weeks. We did do a series on the reasons why 2011 will be eclipsed because of all the 2012 stuff and everything that is plotted politically, economically, spiritually, and the great focus will be 2012. Now, we're going to deal with something else, and we have been doing that this week. On Shatter's website, shatterthedarkness.net, on the web, the theme for the week, January 31st, Monday, to February the 4th, this Friday, we're dealing with the movie The Rite, the Catholic Rite, R-A-T-E, of exorcism. And we're going to deal with some of the other aspects of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, what I'm going to say today concerning doctrine and corruption and, well, anything that I do bring up, it could be applied to Baptist and Episcopal and Anglican and Orthodox and on and on and on. What we need to understand today is the purity of the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, the simplicity of the Word of God. The problem wasn't in the speaking of it or the writing down of it. The problem was in the receiving of it and putting it into practice. It's very hard to understand the Scripture if you're not open to it. It's very hard to retain an understanding of the Scripture if you don't put it into practice. Now, that's true. James chapter 1, if you're an individual that reads the Word of God and reads the Bible and doesn't do anything that it says and walks away, well, the Scripture itself says you've deceived yourself. You're going to forget everything, just like you forget your face in a mirror. But if you do take the Word of God, which, listen, we're talking about the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's language. I'm going to give you one Scripture right now that goes into a revelation about the Scripture. It's out of the book of Ephesians. Sorry, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God, now listen, the Logos of Theos, the Logos of God. It is quick, the word zone from zao, meaning it's alive, that it's living. And then the word powerful comes from energeis, where we get our word energy. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts. Listen, the active living Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a person's heart. That it actually is above reason. That it actually is above the entire construct, body, soul, and spirit of your life. That the Word of God is spiritually breathed into and literally God is speaking out of it. That it has an inherent, living, active quality that is higher than the thinking processes of man, and even into the depths of our hearts. It can bring revelation to our lives, insight to our lives, a surprising encounter with God. It and it alone is the Logos. It is the written Word of God. And those two words, you take a look at it, Hebrews 4:12, living, the idea of quickening. It has a, well, it's alive when you read it, because God is in it and speaking through it. It is powerful in the sense that there is a supernatural operating force coming through each verse. That's why it's vital that when we look to the Word of God, we understand what it is. The Thessalonians understood this, and Paul wrote to them saying that they believed it, they accepted it, they welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is. The Word of God that was at work, energeis, that supernatural operative presence of a Scripture in their lives, It was operative in them that believe. So let me say in the beginning, yes, it's infallible, it's authoritative, it's supernatural, it's incredible. How it was done on a human scale, what it was done by the Spirit of God, 40 writers, 3 continents, 3 languages, 1,600 years, the same Spirit of God that caused the very first words to be written, selecting what needs to be, preserving and bringing to the world, and giving. Listen, you pick up your Bible right now, God is speaking through it. The Holy Spirit is using it. If you're a believer in Christ, you know how it is. You'd be praying about something and thinking about something, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God brings to your mind instantly the exact scripture you needed. Maybe it's in witnessing, maybe it's in counseling, maybe it's in teaching, maybe it's in your research, and God reminds you. That's why it's vital. Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I mean, just absolutely consume the word of God systematically, knowing it throughout. Now listen, though there are those that have messed up or given false interpretation or twisted scripture or nullified scripture, the scripture remains, well, what it is. The word of God, infallible, that it still says what it says and means what it says. It's about our approach. And it's whether or not the Spirit of God dwells in you. You can take a read sometime of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you're someone that does not have the Spirit of God inside of you, you're not going to be able to understand the deep things of God. Because it is by the Spirit of God we understand. It is by the Spirit of God operative right now as you are listening. If you're lost, if you're without Christ, it is He who calls you to come to Christ by the use of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if you're a believer, you can check it out in the book of Peter. We're born again by the enduring, the powerful, the Logos, the living and powerful, active Word of God. Can't get saved without it, can't grow without it, can't defeat the enemy without it. And listen, as we bring this out today, the reason is because of the possibilities of nullifying the Word of God, that is, setting up our opinions, our political ideologies, our other spiritual doctrine, traditions of men, when any of those things are set up above the Scripture, you have nullified the Word of God, you have made it of none effect, and you have taken as authority political ideology or personal opinion or traditions of men or other spiritual didache teachings. Well, listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, Shatter live broadcast tonight. We're going to be jumping into this tonight because it has everything to do with the concept of deliverance and exorcisms that we began with on Monday, and the new movie that millions will watch called The Rite. And once again, like the old movie, The Exorcist, and The Exorcist 2 and 3 and 4, or The Exorcism of Emily Rose and Elise, that we're going to see a lot of, maybe even some political ideology, definitely some traditions of men, and maybe some other spiritual doctrine that has been intertwined and has usurped the simplicity and purity and power of the Word of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you rather have the purity of the Word of God? If it is the Word of God, do you have something better? If it is the Word of God, is political ideology higher? If it is the Word of God, is there some opinion of man, tradition of man, that becomes and that could be and that should be more authoritative and listened to? Would you rather listen to the opinions of man or the Word of God? The Word of God is more than God's opinion. It is the revelation of God. It is the instruction of God. It is the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. And here we have such a massive deposit. Such a massive deposit. Did you ever notice how Jesus uses the Word of God, fulfilled the prophecies of the Word of God, quoted the Word of God, declared that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God? Did you not see Jesus in the Gospels in quoting the Old Testament, telling the people, has not God said? When Jesus quoted the Old Testament, he put it in the reference to the framework of, has not God said? And he says, God has given you living words. He even said about his own words, the words that I speak to you, well, they are spirit and they are life. And the grapha of the scripture can be said the same thing. They are spirit and life. They are living and they are active. By what presence? By what power? The living, personal presence of God. Let me say it again. God is in his scripture, speaking through his scripture. It is alive, whether you or I are reading it, whether you or I or are listening to it. So I'm going to say today, may the Spirit of God quicken our hearts and minds, open hearts and minds, and may the Lord Jesus destroy the work of the enemy, where the enemy tries to block, twist, or falsely quote. As a matter of fact, I don't think demons, though they do quote scripture, and demon planos New Age spirits, as they give and use bits and pieces of scripture in the context of demonic doctrine, didache's teachings. I've noticed that they never quote them in context. They never quote them correctly. Their use is always twisted with the goal of leading somebody off the track into disobedience and away from God. I'm convinced that the dark side, because of their will never quote scripture correctly, ultimately. And because of their nature, it may be they cannot. The Word of God is the Word of truth. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that gave every single verse, every single line, down to this very day, these living, incredible words. They should be valued. They should be sought after. They should be looked at. I have no problem people comparing them to other, well, religious or spiritual texts around the world. I have no problem if you take the scripture and evaluate it in comparison to the Quran. Here's the Bible, 40 writers, 1,600 years, three different languages, three different continents, one author, the Spirit of God, all the way through. Every one of the writers, they knew God in personal relationship. We have a systematic revelation of God, a progressive revelation of God leading to the New Testament and to God coming in human flesh, which the Scripture spoke in advance, spoke while he was there, and spoke since. Started the Quran if you want to. Muhammad married 20-some times, rejected Christ, rejected Judaism, embraces a spirit named AI and calls it Allah, the Prince of Persia, maybe the old moon god. If you ever watch or read the historical accounts of inspiration where he faints, passes out, foams at the mouth, then wakes up and writes down, well, you can do the evaluation. Now, you can take other texts, as I have, and you can look at other things and examine them. But I'm going to ask you that if you really examine even the human side of the reception and oral and written traditions and the handing down. See, I am so absolutely convinced in the hands-on operating presence of the Spirit of God, even in the translation. 1,700 translations in the world today in all those languages around the world. And by those current scriptures around the world, hundreds of millions have gotten saved. China, Russia, welcome. Czech Republic, welcome. Oslo, the Netherlands, Denmark, Amsterdam, Paris, France, London, England, Berlin, all of you welcome. Whether it's in Brazil, São Paulo, Johannesburg, Pretoria, Mumbai, could be in other places around the world, Manila, Japan, Beijing, Hong Kong, all throughout Canada, all throughout the United States, all around Australia, dear friends from all around the world, even on the islands, St. James, Hawaii, other places around the world, where you have been downloading and where you have scripture in your language. Man, you have the Word of God And I'm going to say it again, living and active. Now, the reason I'm bringing out so much of this in the first 15 minutes is, one, hopefully to inspire you to get into the Word of God and study it systematically. Let me tell you what, we have the book of Daniel up. It's absolutely free. There's about, I don't know, I forget, maybe 15, 20 hours of chapter by chapter. And it's basic. I mean, some will think that it's very in-depth, but I think it's pretty basic, chapter by chapter, verse by verse study. We have a lot of that in our Ablaze for God devotions. And we're just kicking off this week the book of Acts. We've already done the introduction. And chapter by chapter and verse by verse, we're going to go through the Word of God and let this living, this active, this powerful, this Word of God speak. And I want to tell you something. In 36 years, I love the study. I love the study of the original. Right now, it's Greek to me. I mean, right now, my whole passion is the Greek, mastering Greek vocabulary, mastering New Testament manuscripts, and all the rest. That's been a pursuit for 25 years with a current goal of formalizing that master's work. Then I'll hit on Hebrew. I don't know a whole lot other than I can look up words and always love to study words and get a distinct meaning. But don't forget, all around the world, people holding a translation in their hand, they're leading people to Christ around the world by the millions. It is the Word of God, and by it you can be saved. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the Word of Christ, the Gospel. Now, as we get into this, we're laying the foundation. We're laying the foundation concerning this is the Word of God. And the reason we're belaboring this point is that whether you have a Baptist background, Methodist background, Catholic background, you know, whatever those backgrounds, and the reason we are speaking specifically on the Roman Catholic issue is, well, it's a whole week. We're jumping into the interaction. I've got Catholic theology books here to my right. Over the years, we've studied and looked and read, interacted with many Catholics over the years, including Catholic priests, including letters that we've gotten lately, including going to a Catholic church to sit in services and observe. Let me tell you this, when it comes to the satanic ritual abuse, the secret underground, the super force, the black flame, the infiltration of the Catholic Church, I do know a team very personally that has done counter-infiltration and that are in the Catholic system looking for the smoke of Satanas. They're not going to be afraid to blow the whistle. So this week, as Catholics all around the world listen, and even as we put up last night, listen, if you're listening live right now, you know last night, for whatever reason, three times trying to get on, we were cut off. But we did the program anyway, put it up, and noticed that instantly, well over 1,000 downloads, and close to 40 of those occurred somewhere around Rome, Italy. It is no question this week that priests and Catholic leadership may be listening. And that's a good thing. Have no problem with interaction. Have no problem looking and pointing to Jesus, Savior, Lord, God, King. The message of Jesus is so vast and so big and so broad. The love of God, of course, is the motivation. Whether you've got a Baptist background, Pentecostal background, Presbyterian background, Episcopal background, or Catholic background, I'll still ask anyone, are you saved? Does the Spirit of God live in you? Do you know personally the living Christ? Now that is the grid of biblical New Testament understanding of being born of the Spirit of God, being saved. You can read it in Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. You could have your name on a church roll. You could have been baptized as an infant. You could have an uncle or a family member as a priest or a pastor or a teacher or an elder or a deacon. None of that saves you. You could say, well, I joined the church when I was young, or I joined the church, and I've been a member of the church for years and years and years. The church, as you'll hear me say clearly tonight, does not save anybody. The church is not the Savior. The Savior is the Savior. The church didn't create the Savior. The Savior created the church. The church is not the head. The Savior is the head of the church. And let me tell you something. He's the head of the body, and by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, he is building and strengthening and can purify the body of Christ. Let me tell you something. If you know on a personal basis the Word of God convicts you, teaches you, trains you, corrects you, helps to purify your life, then that same Word of God can do the same for the local bodies of Christ all over the world, and is intended to do so. Let me tell you right off the bat that Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail. There's no question that he launched the ecclesia, the called out people of God. Launching born again, that is, born of the Spirit of God, those who know the living Christ, have the new nature, have the gift of eternal life, have the Spirit of God in and on them. Well, they're going to be launched into the world. Into what world? Listen, do you understand? The world that is fallen. The world that has a spiritual, a legal presence over it. 1 John 5 says the evil one is in control of the whole world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, that dark presence is called, small g, the god of this age, this time period, around the world. So we're launched into real, established, embedded, in the sense of spiritual legalities, well, satanic, demonic, dark presence everywhere. It is without question Christ wins on the cross and makes a public spectacle of the principalities and powers, triumphing over them by the cross. Check it out. The second chapter, Colossians. Can't read my own writing sometimes, looking at notes. I guarantee you, if you look at my little scribbly notes here, as anybody has done in the past, it's almost as if I've encrypted it. Problem is, sometimes I can't tell what the encryption is either. Well, let me tell you what, I want to welcome all of you listening by internet, listening by satellite, and those dear folks, last month, off this website, shatterthedarkness.net, 135,000 downloads of the MP3s, the teaching courses, the archives in 90 countries. All I can ask is believers who believe in what we're doing here, pray for us and pray for those listening. Pedro writes to me and says, while listening, he got saved. Another friend gets saved out of the Netherlands. Another friend comes to Christ here. Another one turns out of the New Age to Christ. Another one cleans up their act and surrenders. Another backsliding individual writes to me. So we're seeing this incredible interaction all around the world. And I got to tell you that in this time in my life, all I know is that I'm just under the hand of God, under this providence, and I'm taking the opportunity that God gives me right now. And I'm going to use it until that door closes. So I want to welcome all, and I want you to know that, by the Spirit of God and without shame, Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ, God, Savior, Lord, King, he's returning. Now he's here in me, with me. The Spirit of God is here. Good news today, getting to pray to him, talk to him, praying over you, praying over this 1 hour, knowing that it's providential, knowing that people are wondering, even now, well, when are you going to get on this other stuff about Catholic doctrine? Well, we're going to do that. A lot of you have written about wanting to hear my perspectives on this. Some have written and said, hey, they just want me to scream and yell and tear up the Catholics. And I think you could do that with just about anybody if you really, you know, wanted to try to do it that way. I don't know what fruit that will bear. Just yelling at somebody or just simply saying you're wrong without correction. See, what's the goal behind this? Did you ever read in the book of Timothy where the Spirit of God guides the younger pastor? That he is to rebuke those who are getting off track. And that the goal of that command is love. The goal of correction is back in fellowship, back in unity, back in spiritual purity, which means relationship. Now I'm going to give you my insight over the years. I've been out in the ministry now 35 years, and obviously I've interacted with thousands and thousands of believers and thousands of those who are not. I mean, personally, face-to-face, pastoring churches, doing ministries, doing speaking engagements, and all that we do. Now we're into the hundreds of thousands upon thousands and upon thousands. And that's a great thing. But ultimately, the goal in all that we do is to say, God loves you more than anybody else could love you. John 3:16, John 3:17. He didn't come into the world to condemn you or anyone else. He came into the world to save. So don't ask me to condemn people. I'm not going to follow that method. I'm going to follow John 3:17. I've got great news to tell the world. The world's on fire with riots and governmental overthrow and tension and nuclear tension and everything else. And most of the world feels in the air that chaotic, catastrophic chaos that's coming with the rise of the man of sin. The Antichrist, Homo Satanus. Yeah, he's coming. The dark side is real. The movie out, The Right, based on a pure Catholic version of it all. At least one thing's very clear, and very clear in dealing with Catholics on the subject. There's a clear knowledge Satan is real, Satan is active, Satan is present. But one wants to ask the question, how deep has the infiltration gone? Why the cover-ups? Why the secrecy? Why the hiding out of priests, including cardinal law? We don't need a buddy system within the ministry. We don't need cover-up within the ministry when the Word of God tells us not to show favoritism. If we're living based by the Word of God and not men, not bias, not compromise, then it's the Word of God that we're going to be loyal to, which demonstrates a love for God, a loyalty to God. Listen, you honor God by being obedient to the Word of God where there is no other higher element, no political ideology, no philosophical system, not Plato, not Socrates, not one of them, has something superior to the Spirit-given revelation. Knowledge, insight, wisdom, alive communication, anywhere in all the world, Zambia, Alaska, wherever you're listening. You know the good news is, you pick up the Gospel of John and begin to read chapter 1 and go all the way to chapter 3, and if you respond, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him into your life, because that's what that living word's going to tell you. He's alive. He's already come and he's died and he's risen. And the Spirit of God is present there to draw you to Christ. So if you are lost, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, there is no question that the Spirit of God's going to try to draw you. Now, I know that there are real Luciferians that listen and that write me from time to time. Sadists and pagans and others. We even had one that wanted to have me add them on Facebook today, but when I looked at their site, they had some vulgarities against Christ. Now, Facebook is just a social network. I only use it for evangelism, connection, and interaction. It's a tool. But I also have a right not to put somebody in that has that kind of vulgarity. See, it's not about me cussing out the devil. That doesn't make sense. It's about awareness and what that entity can do. Don't forget, he did bring down one-third of the angels, brought down the human race, and if you're lost, he still has rights. Whether you agree or not, Jesus teaches John's gospel. Well, he has rights. If you're lost without the Spirit of God, the Word of God would teach that the devil is still your father, still has operating rights. And not until you come to Christ and are born of the Spirit of God and are saved directly by him and come to know him, are you transferred from that domain to the basileia, the kingdom of of Christ. You check it out. Colossians chapter 1 will tell you that. Now let's get into some of the things we're going to do tonight. And we've got good plenty time, 30 minutes to jump into. First of all, when it comes to this subject, let's ask the questions that can be asked of every denomination, non-denominational, any local church. Every one of us is individuals, but we're on this track right now this week. We're asking Roman Catholics. We're asking priests. We're asking teachers and Vatican officials all during this week about the understanding of the first 30 years of the early church, the body of Christ, the family of God. Now, when I say the first 30 years, the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit given revelation of the first 30 years. This is after the ascension of Christ and the giving of the Spirit of God and the launching of the global mission that God has in reaching the world for Christ. Christ died for all. The Spirit of God has come to lead us, and we're commanded to preach the good news, gospel to all. We're to go to every nation. We're to go to every highway and byway. We're to go to every creature, every single human being. And I'll say it again, because God loves you. Because the Spirit of God moves us. Because we, without God, without the intervention of God, without the redemption that comes from the hand of God, you know it and I know it. Your sin is there. You're lost. You're separated. Your spirit is dead to God. You, listen, the rights of hell and Satan are all over you. What are you going to do? You can grab a New Age crystal and rub it all you want. You can grab all kinds of other spirits and say you've got experiences. You can grab a hold of non-human enhancements and say you can read the past, read the future, and connect to the Akashic records if you want. You can claim to talk to spirit guides. You can claim to use a Ouija board and get guidance, or even have some psychic give you a seemingly on-target word. You can do a lot of those things. Not one ounce of it will save you. As a matter of fact, coming from that side of the fence, dark spirits, seducing spirits, they're not only going to not lead you to salvation, they're not going to lead you to the Word of God, they're not going to lead you to Christ, they're going to do everything they can to substitute, counterfeit, and or preoccupy you. That dark side would love to hold you under the water, dark water, until you actually lose your soul. The dark side understands this. Listen, when one single individual gets saved, you read the Gospels, one person repents, turns to God in Christ in the context of salvation. Jesus taught that all the angels, that all of heaven rejoices. I'm very sure by my experience now, the dark side hates that. And it is clear in the parable of the sower that it is the dark side itself that goes after and is in the midst of spiritual warfare when evangelism is going on. When the Word of God, the Word of Christ, is being shared with individuals, you read about the birds of the air and that parable that Jesus taught, how they come and they pluck away the seed, and how Jesus tells the meaning of the parable. He makes reference to, well, that's Satan coming to pluck out of somebody's heart and mind the Word of God so that they cannot be saved. The dark side knows how a person gets saved and knows how to target pulling the Word of God away from them so they can't get saved. Romans 10 tells you clearly, how can you believe on whom you've not heard? Bottom line, you cannot get saved without the Word of God. The dark side would love that people do not hear this message of the love of God, the liberation of God, the salvation of God, and the gift of indestructible immortality. See, I'm going to see God face to face, and He loves me. I'm going to be an immortal, indestructible, irrevocably, listen, it's irreversible once I'm there. Glorification. Nothing the New Age has conceived in any spiritual dream, vision, channeling experience, not one thing compares to the coming glorification. The evolution of humanity to a new consciousness, a new development. Well, the dark side is offering and going to offer the biggest counterfeit to the glorification, the coming glorification the world's ever known. You listen, the world knows that it's in trouble. The world knows that it's dying, that it's got a death gene inside of us, that our genetics, nothing we can do can save us. And I guarantee you now, based on the word of God, transhumanists will not get rid of the death gene. You know, there are healthy things you can do to live longer. If you eat a can, if you eat a can of lard every single day, you're going to die probably sooner than the people that don't. So there are things you can do to live longer, and as a believer in Christ, you want to honor God with your body. Those listening right now know what I'm talking about. Go ahead and make the choice. Make it hard. Make it strong. Habits sometimes that we've lived out of neglect. Either food is God or God is God. Are you in control? Great news about the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Listen, self-control is involved there, but I'm not going to get off here. Listen, I want to touch on this very clearly tonight. I want to say that not only is there this infiltration of the Catholic system, not only is there this worldwide, but specifically in Rome, this infiltration of the chosen ones, satanic ritual abuse, of sleepers, of those that are involved with the regime of Antichrist. The superforce, the black flame, the lodge, whatever you want to call it, embedded within the system. Well, it's there for a reason. And it may have been able to embed itself and get into the Catholic system better than others because of their loss of purity of not only biblical doctrine, but of the Holy Spirit's power and presence and actual giftings of the Spirit. When you take a read, now here's what we want to do in comparison to your local church and to any system of churches. Let me say quickly that the New Testament records the word church about 95, 96 times. And almost all of those are in reference to local bodies of Christ, local churches. When you read the book of Acts, from the gathering of the believers, when the Holy Spirit came down in power as promised by Jesus, that the as said in 1 Corinthians 12, we are all baptized with one spirit into one body. And so all of a sudden there is this coming indwelling of the Spirit. There is the clothing of power of the Spirit. There is sign gifts that are unleashed as prophesied. The gospel then is unleashed. Thousands more come to Christ. And the church in its spiritual birth, in a sense, its connection by the Spirit of God, is launched, and it's in mission, and it's now developing. Now, there are political concerns of the day. There is the spiritual warfare of the day. There are the needs of a growing, I mean, immature believers, people that are just getting saved but don't know all of what the teaching is yet. And so when you read the book of Acts, you're going to see progressive development. You're going to see where there are women within the body of Christ and the daily needs of food, and they're all debating, and the apostles have to come and have the people pick known spirit-filled individuals so they can become these servants that can take care of that so that the apostles can continue to preach the word of God and prayer. And when that all occurred, the church grew, more people got saved, things were blessed. So in this progressive development, which we later see given in written instruction, the books of Timothy and Titus. Now here's what we see. Book of Acts, 30-year history. The apostles being the first in unleashing ministry, preaching on the day of Pentecost, seeing thousands get saved. And by the end of that, we are then already noticing by the end of chapter 4 that you have the individual believers, well, they're fellowshipping together. breaking bread together, and they are devoted, listen, this is what it says, to the apostles' doctrine. That is, what Jesus released down into them, they are now releasing by the Spirit of God's guidance into the second generation, the new recruits, the new disciples, the newly born ones of God. Now, what you're going to see is the instructions Jesus gave get put into practice, and where that instruction is faithfully taught, individuals putting that into practice, guess what occurs? Same results. This is a principle of the book of Acts. It is a principle for living our lives as believers. It's about the instruction that Jesus gave, what he commanded those apostles that he chose. You can go back and read Matthew, the last chapter. The Great Commission, where Jesus, in authority, commands that the church, the apostles, I mean, were to go to all the nations of the world, ethnos is the Greek word, and to make disciples. And notice, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey, two Greek words are added there, whatsoever, everything that Jesus gave, and that he promised in that he would be present to the end of the age. Now that's God's track. That's God's road. Any believer standing on that road is going to find that Jesus experientially is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anybody taking the instruction that Jesus gave, handed down by the apostles, by the Spirit of God's sovereign will, writing that down, giving the instruction, never altering it, defining it, broadening, but having that same teaching, wherever that is obeyed, in coming to Christ, God is experienced. In growing in Christ, God is experienced. In doing the will of God, doing the Word of God, walking in the Spirit's presence and power, and the living presence of Christ is all over the place. Any church that wants to be on God's road, God's track, that is, taking the instruction of Jesus, everything whatsoever, and all of the Word of God, and then knowing that is the high instruction. There is no other higher instruction that could be given. There is no higher word. There is no better place. It reminds me of Isaiah 48, where God says that he's the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, our Redeemer, and that he teaches us what is best, and he leads us in the way that we should go. That's how the New Testament should be looked at. What is best, highest, superior by far beyond political ideology, personal opinion, other spiritual ideologies, alternatives that are contrary to the Spirit of God. Any and all of that that you try to mix the Word of God with or replace the Word of God with, you have just fallen off the high road of God. The Spirit of God's not going to bless that. And the evidences that we see in the book of Acts, the evidences of the living presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the living work of Jesus among us is going to be absent. If you have a life and you say you know Jesus, but you have gotten off obedience to the Word of God, and you feel sidetracked, you feel off of those tracks of God, and down there off those tracks, you don't experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You don't experience the kind of deep relationship you knew you once had. Well, the matter is getting back up on those tracks. And to the Roman Catholic Church or any church, let me say this. Study out of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3, the church of Sardis, where Jesus says, you were once alive, but you're now dead. Now, Jesus has the right. He's the head. He's the founder. He's Lord. And if you're not willing to listen to what Jesus says about your life or your local church, or if you want to call it a denomination or system of churches, if you're not willing to listen to the Lord of the church, the Savior who died and rose, if you're not even willing to listen to the Word of God, which is the high road, then you are really so far off track, one wonders whether you can make it back. The Church of Sardis, Jesus said, that you were once alive, but now you're dead. He calls them to strengthen what remains. That is, what obedience to the Word, what belief in the Word, what little remains. Let me say that to the Roman Catholic Church. Let me say that to anyone else. What does remain clearly of the Word of God and of Christ? Strengthen that. Because you're about to die. You're about to completely fade out, be snuffed out. When Jesus walks away from a local fellowship, there's no question that all of the, no matter what, you can go around and bang pots and pans together, hold up crosses, wear robes, you can have candles lit, you can dance in the aisles, you can do all kinds of stuff. You can make a lot of noise, but if you've gotten off the track, the purity of the Word of God, the instruction of Christ, under His Lordship, then it's going to be evident that you're missing the manifest presence and power of the Spirit of God, and you're missing the evidences of the living Christ and the fruit that could be bore powerfully by God. You have no stories. You have no testimonies. Let me tell you what happens. In that first 30 years, everywhere the believers, whether the apostles or second-generation believers, like Acts chapter 8, Philip, wherever they took the instruction of the Word of God, the Word of Christ, and they, in relationship to Christ, put it into practice, launching out in the Great Commission, launching out in obedience to the Word, in fellowship with Christ, there you see, consciously filled with the Holy Spirit, disciples of Christ. There you see the living Christ working literally among them. There you see people getting saved, people getting healed, people getting delivered from dark powers, and even signs and wonders and extraordinary miracles can be done when there is explicit faithfulness to the high, unequaled, unadulterated, pure Word of Christ, pure Word of God. You can't be born again without it. You can't be saved without it. You can't grow without it. And you surely can't minister or lay the foundations for a local or string of churches, but based on that Word of God. And that's how we should evaluate. That's what Jesus did in going to the seven churches where they've lost their first love, where they've grown cold and lukewarm and they didn't have nothing. Wherever they began to listen to the Nicolaitans' false doctrines and teachings, or where they tolerated occult teachings coming in, Jesus had the right to go in and help clean that up. I can only pray that in my life, Jesus, anything in me on these areas, clean me up. Where it comes to doctrine and teaching and so forth, in any areas, clean us up. Sanctify, that is, by the dynamic power of the Spirit of God, straightening out. May our understanding, reception, and living by and use of didache, teaching, all of it, be purified. Let me tell you something. The first 30 years of the early church, all the way to the end, one thing's very clear, they stayed committed to the Great Commission. You can't be a local church and not do the Great Commission. You'll grow cold, you'll get dead, the Lord Jesus is going to have to deal with you. You cannot be a local church and not do the Great Commission. You cannot be the local church and not do what Jesus taught in Luke 10. Go out and preach that gospel of the kingdom. Go out and pray for the individuals to be healed. And go out and command by the authority Christ gave every single disciple, not just priests, not just certain exorcists in an office called the office of the exorcist. Please understand, Jesus, his teaching, his example, his instruction, his word is higher than anyone in the Catholic system, the Episcopal, the Lutheran, or any other. Either you've joyfully grasped the best, God's instruction, or you've nullified the Word of God by tradition. You ever read that in Scripture? You ever read where Jesus says these words in Mark 7:13? When he's dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it's very clear they had the Word of God, but they weren't using it. They didn't know God. They didn't love God. The Word of God didn't live in them. I mean, you can see this interaction. Jesus tells them this. He can see it. If you're a real believer in ministry, you can see it. He can see that not only they did not believe the Word of God that Moses gave, it wasn't living in them. He was able to say in those chapters 4, 5, and 6, not only does the Word of God not live in you, God's not your father. The devil is your father. He was able to tell individuals that were claiming in all of their robes, in all of their ceremonial garb, in all of their religious look, in all of their religious tradition, he was able to say to them, you're not of God. Your father's not God. Your father's the devil. Because the Word of God does not live in you. He said, if you would have believed Moses, you would believe what I have to say. If you've believed the progressive revelation of the Word of God, what Moses said, what was given in the Old Testament that is meant to lead to Christ, you would believe what Christ said. But since you rejected and did not believe, since you turned the Word of God into a kind of mechanical system by how you use it, you demand the wages of eternal life. You exchange the gift of God and his righteousness into a religion of works. I mean, it clearly says this in Romans 10 and 11. They didn't submit to God, God's way, but they made up their own system. Can I ask you something? Especially if you're a spiritual leader, a priest, a Vatican teacher. I don't care if it's a theologian. I mean, break away from making judgments whether the person you're listening to is a Catholic theologian, a Baptist theologian, or anything else. Is what I'm saying the Word of God? Is it simply clear and plain and true? It is very clear that anyone being religious but being off track, Jesus says these words, Mark 7:13, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things do ye. Now, listen, let me read that again and go over that Greek word. And thus you nullify, you put to non-effect the Word of God. Why? Because they usurped the Word of God. They kind of took a lesser look at the Word of God, built a tradition based on their opinion that has become something they've written, some extra thing they've written. They've laid it out. It is, and the tradition has become more authoritative than the Word of God. And the tradition is being lived. The tradition has nothing to do with the Word of God. It is really the Word of man. It is the Word of man in a religious sense, and that's where the deception comes in. It can look very religious. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says you can have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Do you and are you clothed with the power of the Spirit of God? Are you involved in the Great Commission? Do you know what salvation is by faith alone in Christ? Do you know the reality that Christ saves directly? The church never saves. The church is the people of God that he was to create. It is to be those born of the Spirit, baptized into the body of Christ at the moment of your salvation. In all the world, wherever you get saved, born of the Spirit of God, instantly you are baptized, placed by means of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. There is a worldwide body of Christ intact, but there's a lot of outside physical structures that have exchanged the purity and power and superiority of the Word of God for traditions that have become the authority, and thus negates, nullifies the Word of God. Notice that the Spirit of God is not in the traditions. Notice that Jesus is not blessing the traditions. It's just ceremony. It's just ritual. Let me say this also that nullifies the word of God. Political ideology that gets put into the church. Even when Hitler wanted to take the Bible off the main tables in churches in Germany, put Mein Kampf there, when there was the goal to replace the centrality of the scripture with political ideologies, wherever that might be, whatever country you might be living in, even in the United States, wherever it may be, you must understand that political ideology is secondary to and lesser than the authority of the Word of God. Jesus will bless the Word of God. Jesus will operate in the context of the Word of God. The Spirit of God will bless those who believe and obey the Word of God. And the power of God will be pouring out on those who receive, put into practice, the Word of God. The great news for everyone listening, you don't have to wait for anybody. You can stand up under the Lordship of Christ, commit your heart and way to the Lord. Now that's clear. You read John's Gospel 12, chapter 12 through 14. Do you love Jesus? Well, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my word. You'll put it into practice. And I and the Father, we will come and make our home in you. There'll be an experiential relationship if you do it God's way. Read John's Gospel chapter 15. If you're going to abide in Christ, you've got to be in obedience to the Word of God. Put it into practice. If you're not going to do that, well, you cannot bear fruit. Without Christ and doing it His way, you can do nothing, Jesus said. That chapter teaches the simplicity and the foundation of discipleship. If you've believed on Christ and received Him as Lord and Savior, you have obeyed the Word. And now you have to continue to obey the Word and take all the Word of God and put all of it into practice. So if in the Roman Catholic Church or any local church or in any life or any priest's life, cardinal's life, or even a pope, the bottom line is traditions have the possibility, if you put them there, to nullify the power and effect of the Word of God, you are off track, you have sinned, you've embraced the traditions of men, maybe political ideologies, maybe even taking bits and pieces of man-made religion and blending them within the system. Somebody writes me out of Mexico that the Catholic priests are telling individuals and those among the Maya, and I got another letter that I had up last week and another one that came, where priests have actually told the individuals that, hey, those gods that they're into, they're the same as the God they're talking about, and they just need to blend it all together, and they need to become a good Catholic. Well, that would be a lie. That would be a lie and contrary to the Holy Spirit, contrary to the will of God, contrary to the Word of God, even when it comes to occult teaching. And when we are into the traditions of men, political ideologies, syncretism, then we're absent of the direct working of the Spirit of God, the living Christ, and we're wide open for deeper and broader satanic infiltration. Listen, we are coming to the end of the hour. I have another hour I would like to bring on this. I'll bring more tomorrow night. Let me just say this. Do you know Christ? Do you know the Word of God? Do you know the Savior? That's what we want to know. Do you walk with Him? Right now, wherever you are at, you can receive the living Christ into your life. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the Gospel of John yourself. Check it out. Find out from the superiority, the authority, the infallibility, the living presence of God in every single scripture verse. Wherever you're living and whenever you're listening to this, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you say you're a believer in Christ, let all that you are and all that you're a part of be purified by the Word of God. Drop the traditions of men. Drop false doctrine. Drop anything that negates the honest and real Word of God. ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website. This is Russ Dizdar. We are at the end of the hour. Listen, remember us in prayer. We've got to hear from folks if we're going to stay on. We ask for your support. We have no other commercials, business products, Take a look at our support tab. Thanks for listening tonight. Good night.